Chapter 19. Naomi. The beer was vat-brewed, rich and yeasty, with a little fungal aftertaste where the hops had been cut with engineered mushrooms. Carl was making hot plate kusa, thin, unleavened cracker bread, heavy with gumroo and hot onion. With Sin and Naomi and a new man named Miral sharing air with Carl and the hot plate both, the recyclers were working near their top rate for the space. The heat and the spiced air, the closeness of bodies and the just-buzzed relaxation of the alcohol felt like falling backward through time. Like if she opened the door, it wouldn't be the dockside grunge of Ceres Station, but Roku's ship, burning for the next claim or the next port. "So, Josie," Sin said, waving one vast palm. He paused and turned a scowl to Naomi. "Kennst Josie?"
"I remember which one he is," Naomi said.
"Yeah, so Josie sets up shop there, Sasa. Start charging the earthers to go down the corridor. Calls it..." Sin snapped three times, trying to call up the story's punchline. "Calls it a municipal tollway. Tollway!"
"And how long did that last?" Naomi asked.
"Long enough we had to get off station before security grabbed us," Sin said around a grin.
Then he grew sober.
"That was before, though."
"Before,"
Naomi agreed, lifting her glass. "Everything changed after Eros."
"Everything changed after the fuckers killed the Cant,"
Miral said, eyes narrowed at Naomi as if to say, "That was your ship, wasn't it?" Another invitation for her to tell her stories. She leaned forward a degree, hiding behind the veil of her hair. "Everything changed after Metis Base. Everything changed after Anderson Station. Everything changed after Tarion Lock. Everything changed after everything."
"Es maldecido y gas," Sin said, nodding.
"Everything changed after everything." Carl looked up. His expression was a mix of camaraderie and regret that meant everything changed after the Gamara. Naomi smiled back. It had, and she was sorry too. Being here with these men brought up a kind of nostalgia that seeped into everything. All of them would have liked her to tell her stories, being on Eros, riding the first ship through the gate, trekking out to the first colony on the new worlds. Sin and Carl wouldn't ask, so the new one followed their lead, and she kept her own counsel. Philip was asleep in the next room, his body curled into a coma, his eyes merely closed. They weren't the profoundly shut eyes of a sleeping baby. The rest of the cell were in other safe houses. Smaller groups drew less attention, and even if they lost one group, the rest could go on. It wasn't something anyone had said. The strategy was familiar and strange at the same time, like a once-favorite song heard again after years of being forgotten. Carl scooped up the kusa, lifting it off the heating element and spinning it on his fingertips in the same motion. Naomi held out her hand, and he set the cracker down in her palm, their fingers brushing against each other. The simple physical intimacy of close companionship. Of family. It had been true once, and that it was less true now was forgiven by the fact that they all knew it wasn't what it had been. Since she'd arrived, they'd all been careful not to let conversations stray into anything that put too fine a point on the gap of years she'd been absent. And so when she broke the unspoken covenant, they would know she'd meant to. And as much as she didn't want to break the fragile moment, the only thing worse than talking about it was leaving it all unsaid. "Philip is looking well," she said, as if the words carried no extra significance. She bit the cracker, roux and onion flooding her tongue and the back of her nose with salt and sweet and bitter. She talked around it.
"He's grown."
"Has," Sin said, his voice cautious. Naomi felt years of grief and anger, loss and betrayal at the back of her throat. She smiled. Her voice didn't waver. "How's he been?" Sin's glance at Carl was nothing, a flicker almost too fast to notice. They were in dangerous territory now. She didn't know if they were looking to protect her from the truth, or Philip and Marco from her. Or if they only didn't want a part of the drama that had been and still was her old lover and their son.
"Filipito's been good," Carl said. "Smart boy, and focused. Self-focused. Marco's seen after him. kept him safe.
Safe as any of us ever are, Miral said, trying to make the words light. The hunger of curiosity was in the man's expression. He hadn't been there when Naomi and Marco had been together. It was like the rest of them were having a conversation and half the words Miral couldn't hear.
Que a mí? Naomi asked.
We all told him the truth, Carl said, a hardness coming into his voice. Not going to lie to our own.
Sin coughed once. He looked at her sideways, like a guilty dog.
When he got old enough to ask him, Marco tells him how things got harsh, too harsh. His mother, she needed to step away from it. Put El Escapo together.
Ah, Naomi said. So that was the story of who she was. The one who'd been too sensitive, too weak. From where Marco sat, it might even look like the truth. But then what must it have been to see who she'd become? Exo of the Rocinante. Survivor of Eros Station, traveler to new worlds. Looked at that way, too harsh was a strange thing. Unless it meant she just didn't love her son enough to stay. Unless what she'd run from was him.
Filipito, he's solid, Sin said. Be proud of him.
Nothing but, Naomi said.
So, Miral said, his voice fighting and failing for casual. You ship Swede James Holden, yeah?
What's that like?
Steady work. No room for promotion, Naomi said, and Sin laughed. After a moment, Miral joined in ruefully. Only Carl kept quiet, and that might only have been from concentrating on the hot plate.
Naomi's hand terminal chimed. She picked it up. Two more messages from Jim. Her fingertip was a centimeter from the button to accept them. His voice was a few small movements away. And the thought pulled at her like a magnet. Hearing him now, even just his recorded voice, would be like taking a long shower in clean water. She pushed the messages into her hold queue.
Soon, and then all of them.
But if she started now, she wouldn't stop. And she wasn't done yet. Instead, she put in a connection request to the address the Outer Fringe Exports representative had given her. A few seconds later, the connection hiccuped to life, a red border marking that the channel was secure.
Ms. Nagata, the young man said, how can I help you today?
Waiting on the ship, she said. Need to know where we stand. The man's eyes unfocused for a moment, then his smile sharpened.
We're waiting for the title transfer to update in the base registry, ma'am.
So the payment's gone through?
Yes. If you'd like, you can take possession now. But please be aware you can't be cleared to leave port until the registry updates.
That's fine, she said, getting to her feet. Where's she berthed?
Dock 6, berth 19, ma'am. Would you like a representative present for the handover?
No, she said. Just leave the keys in the ignition and we can take it from here.
Of course. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise, Naomi said. Have a better one.
She dropped the connection. Sin and Morale were already gathering their few things. Carl scooped up the last kuza from the hot plate with one hand and unplugged it with the other. She didn't need to tell them to alert the others. Sin was already doing it. Without changing, the air in the room felt suddenly too thick. The heat from the hot plate and their bodies too oppressive. Naomi stepped through the doorway.
It's time, she said, her voice gentle.
She remembered all the drama feeds and films with a mother waking her child up for school. This was the closest thing she would ever have to that, and against her best judgment, she savored it.
Philip, we can go now.
His eyes opened, and for a moment he wasn't wholly awake. He looked confused, vulnerable, young. And then his focus sharpened, and he was himself again, his new self. The one she didn't know. They cycled the front door and stepped out into the corridor. The cool rotation breeze smelled of damp and ozone. She was still holding Carl's kusa, half-eaten in her offhand. She took another bite, but it had gone cold and the roux was clotting. She dropped what was left in the recycler and tried not to see it as a metaphor for anything else. Sin loomed up from the door, his face in its resting scowl. He looked older, harder. She missed who he'd been when they were young. She missed who she'd been.
Ready to go, Knuckles? Sin asked.
Hell yes, she said, and he looked at her more closely, hearing maybe something more in the words than only the affirmation. The ship was a simple transport skiff, so small that the docking clamps holding it seemed about to crush its tarnished sides in. It didn't have an Epstein drive, so most of the hold would be taken up by the propellant mass. It would have to fly tea kettle, and even then, a fair stretch of the way, they'd be on the float. It was one step better than getting EVA suits and a bunch of extra air bottles, but it would do what they needed. Naomi had bought it at salvage rates, routing money from her share in the Rosinante through two anonymized accounts, one on Luna, the other on Ganymede. The final owner of record was Edward Slight Risk Abatement Cooperative, a company that had not existed before it appeared on the registration forms and that would vanish again when the ship was disposed of. The transponders would announce it as the Chetsmoka. In all, it represented about half of everything Naomi could call her own, and her name wasn't on any of the paperwork. It didn't seem like enough. It seemed like too much. She didn't know what it seemed like. Philip waited in the bay outside the boarding gantry, and so she did too. Sin and Carl and Miral stood far enough away to give them something like privacy. The berth was a rental space with a red-numbered counter on the wall, measuring the minutes left under the agreement before its ownership changed. The metal and ceramic walls had the foggy look of sealant breaking down from the constant radiation of space. The air stank of lubricant. Someone had left an old poster on the wall, the split circle of the OPA, with a hemisphere of Mars and one of Earth as the circle. Not just OPA, but militant OPA. They'd been her people once. The others arrived, Josie and old Sandy. Wings, whatever his real name was. A thick-faced, sorrow-eyed woman with one missing tooth that Naomi hadn't seen before. A shaven-headed man with livid scars webbing the dark flesh of his scalp and the limp of an unhealed foot wound. More. Each of them nodded to Philip as they passed, their expressions a mix of respect and indulgence. All of them knew him better than she did. All of them would ship with him when he left. The ache behind her breastbone would have concerned her any other time. Just now, she knew what it was. Soft tears threatened, but she blinked them back, bit her tongue to stop them. All well? Philip asked. She laughed, and the tightness around her heart grew harder. Well enough. As soon as the registry updates, we can file a plan and go. Good. Do you have a moment? His gaze flickered up to hers, something like anxiety in his eyes. A heartbeat later, he nodded once and pointed to the corner with his chin. They walked together, and the others gave them space. Naomi's heart beat like she was in danger. She could feel her pulse in her throat. At the wall of the berth, she stopped. Philip turned to face her. The memory of him as an infant, toothless and grabbing onto her finger with a grin of unmistakable pride, intruded powerfully into her mind, and she took a moment to shove it away. "It's been good seeing you," she said. For a moment she thought he wouldn't answer, then, "You too." "The ship," she said. "When it's done, it's yours, all right?" Philip looked over her shoulder toward the gantry. "Mine? I want you to have it. Resell it. Keep the money for yourself. Or hold it if you want. Yours, though. No one else." He tilted his head. "You're not coming with?" "I didn't come here to join back in," she said, then sighed. "I came because he said you were in trouble. I came because of you. Whatever he's doing, whatever he's having you do, I can't be part of it. Not before. Not now, either." For a long moment, Philip didn't move. Her throat felt too narrow, like she couldn't get air through it. "I understand," her son said. Her son, who was leaving again. Who was going back to Marco and everything he was. "Your father isn't a good man," Naomi said, the words spilling out. "I know you love him. I loved him too, once. But he isn't. You don't have to justify it. Philip said. You did this for us, and I appreciate it. This is all you're willing to do, and that's disappointing, but he told me it might happen this way.
You could come with me.
She hadn't meant to say it, but as soon as she did, she meant it to her marrow. The ship I'm on needs crew. We're independent and we're well-stocked. Come do a tour with me, yeah? Get to know each other? For the first time, a real expression cracked her son's reserve. Three thin lines drew themselves between his brows, and he smiled with what could have been confusion or pity. Kind of in the middle of something, he said. She wanted to beg. She wanted to pick him up and carry him away. She wanted him back. It hurt worse than sickness that she couldn't have him. Maybe after then, she said. When you want it, you say it. There's room for you on the Rocinante. If Marco lets you, she thought, but didn't say. If he doesn't hurt you as a way to punish me. And then, a moment later, God, this will be weird to explain to Jim. Maybe after, Philip said, nodding. He put his hand out, and they held each other by the wrist for a moment. He turned first, walking away with his hands in his pockets. The sense of loss was vast and oceanic, and it was worse because the loss wasn't happening now. It had happened every day since she'd left. Every day that she'd lived the life she chose instead of the one Marco had prescribed for her. It only hurt so badly now because she was seeing what all those days summed to and feeling the tragedy of it. She didn't see Sin and Carl coming up until they were there. She wiped her eyes with the heel of her palm, angry and embarrassed, and afraid that a kind word would shatter the composure she still had. A kind word. Or a cruel one.
Oi, Knuckles, Sin said, his landslide deep voice low and soft. So, no chance kommt mit? Filipito something. No, he's tight and thin right now, but he's still on mission. When he's not running herd, he can be funny. Sweet, too.
I left for reasons, Naomi said, the words feeling thick and muddy and true. They haven't changed.
Your son, him, Carl said. And the accusation in his voice was calming because she knew how to answer it.
You know those stories about a trapped wolf chewing itself free? She said. That boy's my paw. I'll never be whole without him. But I'm fucked if I'll give up getting free.
Sin smiled, and she saw the sorrow in his eyes. Something released in her. It was done. She was done. All she wanted now was to go listen to every message Jim had left her and find the fastest transport back to Tycho that there was. She was ready to go home. Sin spread his arms, and she walked into them one last time. The big man folded around her, and she rested her head on his shoulder. She said something obscene, and Sin chuckled. He smelled of sweat and incense.
Ah, Knuckles, Sin rumbled. Didn't have to fall this way. Sweet désolé, yeah?
His arms tightened around her, pinning her arms to her sides. He reared back, lifting her feet off the deck. Something bit at the flesh of her thigh, and Carl limped back, needle still in his hand. Naomi thrashed, slamming her knee into Sin's body. The vicious embrace pressed the air out of her. She bit Sin's shoulder where she could reach it and tasted blood. The big man's voice was soft and lulling in her ears, but she couldn't tell what the words were anymore. A numbness spread along her leg and up into her belly. Sin seemed to fall with her, locked in his arms, but he never landed, only spun backward into space without his legs ever leaving the deck.
Don't do this, she gasped, but her voice seemed to come from far away. Please don't do this.
Had to, Knuckles, Sin said.
Was the plan immer and always, Sasa?
What it's all about?
A thought came to her, and then slid away. She tried to land her knee in his crotch, but she wasn't sure where her legs were anymore. Her breath was loud and close. Over Sin's shoulder, she saw the others standing beside the gantry to the ship. Her ship. Philip's ship. They were all turned to watch her. Philip was among them, his face empty, his eyes on her. She thought she might have cried out, but it could only have been something she imagined. And then, like a light going out, her mind stopped.